Hello, everybody. This is Terry Laundry with the T30 observations for Sunday, the 18th of July, 2010. Well, today we're going to go through the five charts, and these five charts pretty well set up the short-term picture, which is probably of interest now because of the large decline on Friday. And we'll start out with the first chart here as a using the advanced decline oscillator, which is a 19-day advanced decline oscillator on the breadth figures. It's a simpler oscillator to keep, and the instructions are at the T30 Foundation site. The important element here is that there is an accumulation pattern. Back in the 80s and 90s, I defined it for T-theory's purposes an accumulation low as rising bottoms in the blue advanced decline oscillator, which is in the bottom of the plot. Usually they have to be from an oversold condition. And corresponding to those oversold conditions, you see a descending bottoms in price. So that's basically is a divergence. And it is assumed to be a positive divergence because the breadth usually leads the market. And because the breadth is showing diminishing downside momentum, then that you're looking for basically is a turn. If you look at the green line and the advanced, which is the advanced decline line, it's not labeled, but the green line that comes in is usually labeled. The rising bottoms pattern and the from an oversold condition is the sign of a turn. You can see back if you look at January, February, you'll see there's a little rising bottoms pattern there, and sometimes it shows up as a flattish bottom, but I specifically call for it to be a rising bottoms pattern. Those patterns are, I have a study which I will post someday over 15 or 20 years, and they're very reliable if you're in a bull market, but the bull market has to be defined by the advanced decline T, so that if you're in within the right side of an advanced decline T and you get a rising bottoms pattern, that's a very good, high probability. So that the January-February one, you have a little rising bottoms pattern, then you with a declining in the price up above, that is a buy signal because you still have time to get into the to go up because the advanced decline T has not run out for the definition of a bull market. In this case, the advanced decline T is sort of marginally run out, and then it's but it has another recovery, and we are interested in that aspect of it as a partial recovery or attempted recovery. Which we've discussed in the past, based on the double bottom advanced decline T, which just gives you a little bit more time. Best you can do is make a double top, and the worst you can do is make a partial recovery. The other element on my Wednesday update, which is still available at the T-Theory Foundation, we observed that there was a selling climax, sell warning, which came when the five-day window of the arms ratio, which is in the table, second column from the left, had a series of numbers which were very low. Those lead to a top pattern, so that was for Tuesday's data. So the rest of the week, it just topped out, and it ran into resistance where it normally does at the black mid-channel for the S&P 500. It dropped down, and lo and behold, if you look at the Friday number, you see that the arms ratio was 5.8, which is usually the equivalent to a selling climax, which probably means that all the people that forgot to sell at the last top now sold here. 5.8, it's 5.77, 5.8, it should be a selling climax, and I do not believe the market will go lower, any substantially lower Monday, Tuesday, and then we will turn around because the forecast was that the oscillators are going to go back to the zero line. That was for the standard oscillator. This one is a little bit slower moving, hasn't quite reached the zero line. But we're going to look at the second chart. We're going to look at the other one, and that was to go back to the zero line. So what you end up with is a perfectly reliable pattern for some kind of a recovery, and it's in fits and stages. The problem is everybody wants to get out of the mess that we're in, and you kind of have to let the selling get pushed away, and then in the last few weeks of the T, you can get a run, and it can be a very good run, but it doesn't last very long. It's usually about 2 or 3 weeks. I think 3 weeks is about the best you can get out of it. So a lot of this stuff is just preliminary setting up the base pattern for the rally. Now, if we go to the next chart, which is the standard a volume oscillator, which is a more sophisticated oscillator because it uses the difference between two oscillators, and so it gets to more into acceleration than it does to just velocity. Here we have the bare T, and you see the oscillator got a little bit higher, and this brought us back to the zero line. Monday, you could likely to see some kind of a follow through, but on these high arms ratios, very often what happens is that everybody sold on Friday. You should find out that on Monday, you can't find a lot of sellers because it was mostly professionals that were selling, and they saw what was going on. You get some residuals from the people who read the paper over the news over the weekend, but that usually is taken care of by the time you get around noontime, and then the thing starts to recover. And I would be disappointed if it didn't do it, but I think that that's probably what's going to happen. And then you're going to start to get a more of a firmness, and then you get the second attempt, which is necessary to get right through the black mid-channel line and to try to reach the upper red bound in the S&P channels. And we'll see how that goes. That pretty well covers. I don't think there's anything that I would want to add to this. Oh yeah, yes. The one thing I want to add to this picture is that I drew the bear T there as a very short T, because that's the best way to do that. But the projected top date is not really reliable in this construction, because you can justify that the center post of this T actually is at the end of the descending tops pattern and the prices, which would allow me to move it over to the into early June. However, the way you look at those is when you're coming out of a big advanced decline T with a double bottom construction. Some time ago, we pinned that projected top date down to August 26, and that turns out to be the most accurate way to do it. If you move the center post over here, you're likely to go off the end of the T, and this is to keep you out of the situation that the whole thing is going to fail. That's basically, if you got to the end of this T, right into this as it's drawn, and you could not find that you were going up, then you'd believe this T. But if it's starting to make the move that is anticipated to go to the 26th of August or thereabouts, then you will forget this T, and because what happens is it's going to come short covering, and they don't care about these top days. They're going to try and push it right into the because when they see it break out of here, particularly if you break above the mid-June high peak, they'll get short covering, because there's a lot of people that think that this is just the correction of the first wave of a bull market. And now you go through a process like this very often after the first wave of a bull market, and then you set it up, and then you charge right into the second wave of the bull market. So they think that it's going to take off and go all to all-time new highs and so forth. Well, the advanced decline T has a long history since 68. That won't happen. But if you break it above the mid-June high, they'll think it's going to happen. And so you start getting a lot of frantic buying, I guess is what you'd call it, and that's how it develops. So that pretty well takes care of this section. So we'll close down here, and then we'll be back, and we're going to look at the issues of the bond, various bonds that you're interested in, gold, and that'll be our presentation for today. Thank you.